Chapter 9. Madame Jean is waiting for them when they arrive. Achia is still in the palanquin in the center of the disciples, hidden away. Last time, Jiang Cheng had let her stand next to him while Wei Wuxian had stood in the back, because he couldn't stand there alone, and Wei Wuxian had said it shouldn't be him, that he would only make things difficult. This time, Wei Wuxian had still said his being next to Jiang Cheng would cause problems. He hadn't said that he shouldn't be there, although he does wear his old black robes. He's wearing one of his purple underrobes, at least. It still feels like a victory. Sect leader Jiang, Madame Jean says warmly, bowing to him even as she eyes the palanquin. He returns the bow and waits. She hasn't finished greeting them, after all. She falters, then turns to his brother, her smile becoming a little more fixed. Wei Wuxian, she says, less of a greeting than an observation, and does not bow. Is that how you greet my brother? He asks. Wei Wuxian twitches like he wants to hit him. He's not going to sabotage Achia here, obviously. He wants his nephew back, but he doesn't have to play nice either. Jin Sichuan will ask, Achia will answer. It really has very little to do with him, no matter what Madame Jean and Jin Guangshan seem to think. Ah, she says, less warmly. She bows to Wei Wuxian, only slightly shallower than she'd bowed to him, and says, Welcome to Lanling, young Master Wei. After settling into their rooms, there's dinner. Most of the disciples get to eat in the lower hall with each other, but of course those of certain title are expected to eat in the main hall. Wei Wuxian does try to get out of this one, saying it's not even a formal banquet. But Jiang Cheng just grabs him by the back of the robes and hauls him along, squawking the whole way, while Achia tries and fails to scold them through her laughter. Of course, they've barely stepped into the main hall when Wei Wuxian shouts, Lan Chan! Wei Wuxian! He hisses. But of course, his brother's already gone, crossing the hall to drape himself over Lan Wangji in a way that reminds him of Nie Huaisang. Lan Wangji doesn't remove his hands from behind his back, but he does smile, with his mouth and everything, in public, where everyone can see them. Gross, he mutters.
They are kind of nauseating, aren't they?
He turns and grins, clapping Nie Mingtui on the shoulder. He's got a new blade across his back, this one even wider than Baxia. He thinks it might even be a proper broadsword. He takes a moment to consider that much of the time he'd known Nie Mingtui, he'd been a little bit dying and had a blade that had been draining and fighting him even when it hadn't wanted to. And now he doesn't. It looks like Wei Wuxian is going to have some competition for the most terrifying cultivator. The idea that the strong and powerful Nie Mingtui had been handicapped this whole time is awe-inspiring. It makes him really glad he and the Nie are allies this time around. It's the fucking worst, he says frankly, even as Achia gives him a disapproving look that doesn't really do much considering her smile. Hi, Nie Huaisang. He's a little surprised to see him here, since he doesn't think he'd attended last time. Maybe since Nie Mingtui isn't as worried about dying young this time, he's also less worried about trying to keep his little brother's weak cultivation a secret. Which is probably for the best, since everyone already knows. He waves from behind his fan, then says, Brother, Madame Jean is looking at us. Nie Mingtui sighs, then turns to Achia. He says,
Lady Jiang, it's lovely to see you again.
And leans down to delicately kiss her cheek. Her smile is amused and fond, and very much like Jiang Cheng has seen her look at him and Wei Wuxian a time or a thousand. Jiang Cheng's pretty sure he feels the loss of air in the room as everyone gasps, and that's definitely the sound of Wei Wuxian laughing. He knows everyone is probably looking at his face for his reaction, And he tries to look like this is completely normal and not like he wants to turn around and stick his tongue out at Jin Sichuan.
Oh, that's really gonna kickstart the rumor mill.
Wait,
Nie Huaisang says, practically vibrating.
Jiang Cheng is instantly suspicious.
Sect leader Jiang,
Lan Xichen greets sedately, suddenly right there and not next to his brother anymore. Jiang Cheng can't blame him. If he was next to Wei Wuxian and Lan Wangji being disgusting, he'd leave too.
Sect leader Nie, young master Nie.
He pauses, then says, slightly louder,
Lady Jiang.
And bends down just enough to press a kiss to her other cheek. Ajia is surprised, but pleased. Jiang Cheng doesn't sigh, but only because everyone is looking at them.
Nie Huaisang, really?
Just trying to help,
he sings songs from behind his fan. Ajia giggles and steps forward, pressing a hand on both Lan Xichen and Nie Mingtui's forearms so she can stand on her tiptoes, just like she does with him and Wei Wuxian, and kiss each of their cheeks in turn. They look a little stunned about it, probably because neither of them have a sister.
It's good to see that both of you are well.
Sure, Jia!
Wei Wuxian calls out, and Jiang Cheng knows he's trying to sound scandalized, but mostly he sounds delighted, so it doesn't really work. He strides across the main hall and says to them,
Stop hogging my sister, it's very inconsiderate.
Asian,
she says, but doesn't resist as he leads her back over to Lan Wangji. He gives her the deepest bow he's seen Lan Wangji give anyone, and then offers her his seat. Jiang Cheng glances around. The Jin and the minor sects look like their wine has been replaced with vinegar. Well, Jin Sichuan actually looks kind of wistful, which is new. Or isn't. He really hadn't been paying attention to Jin Sichuan's face last time around. Jin Guangyao's face is carefully blank, and he doesn't know how to interpret that. Nie Mingtui probably would, but he doesn't ask for obvious reasons.
You're feeling really proud of yourself, aren't you?
He asks Nie Huaisang. Who snaps his fan shut and goes over to talk to Wei Wuxian instead of answering him.
Your brother's a menace, he says to Nie Mingtui.
He says agreeably. Then, congratulations on your ascension, sect leader Lan.
Thank you, Lan Xichen says,
and his eyes are twinkling.
It was planned, but I didn't have much of a choice after telling Uncle of Wangji's engagement. He was quite surprised.
That must have been terrible,
Jiang Cheng says, but he says it in a way that kind of sounds like he wishes he'd been there to see it. The first time they'd been here, Madame Jean had absconded with Ajia the second she'd seen her, and he and Wei Wuxian had sat close enough, their elbows kept bumping into one another. And neither had moved away, back straight and their faces stiff. This is better. Last time they'd come to the crowd hunt, the only disciple the Jiang clan had submitted to the archery competition had been Wei Wuxian. They hadn't brought that many disciples to begin with, having lost so many between the attack on Lotus Pier and the last battle of the Sunshot campaign, that their options had been limited. Especially considering it'd been just him doing the recruiting last time. What with Wei Wuxian being an alcoholic mess, and him not willing to have Ajia travel Yunmeng alone. They needed to leave someone at least somewhat senior behind to run Lotus Pier, since all three of them were gone. And their presence at the crowd hunt had been, well, not impressive to say the least. And they hadn't been able to bring anyone who could hope to place in an archery competition consisting of the best of each sect. Anyone who could have had been someone they'd needed to leave behind to look over Lotus Pier, since obviously leaving a bunch of half-trained disciples to look after their home would have been too foolish to even contemplate. So instead, they'd brought the half-trained disciples with them. They'd been considering not going at all until Jin Sichuan had come by to invite Ajia personally and force their hand. It's why Wei Wuxian had used his demonic cultivation to capture 30% of the prey last time. It had ended up causing problems, because of course it did, but the intention had been good. It had been Wei Wuxian reminding everyone that what they lacked with numbers, they made up for in power. His, specifically. His brother had been trying to protect them by showing that they weren't vulnerable, that even if they looked vulnerable, and Wei Wuxian was walking around half dead, he was still the person that ended the war in a single day, and if anyone thought to take advantage of the Jiang clan, then he'd end them too. It had backfired spectacularly. Sometimes Jiang Cheng had wondered if it was one of the reasons Wei Wuxian had left, if he'd felt that instead of helping like he'd wanted, he was just making everything worse by being around. He had made everything worse. His good intentions had gone poorly because everyone seemed to forget how terrifyingly powerful his brother was until they felt the need to vilify him. But Jiang Cheng wasn't foolish enough to deny that the Yilin Patriarch's reputation had protected them, even when he was all the way in the burial mounds, no matter the supposed animosity that Jiang Cheng had said existed between them. The Jiang disciples had still called him Senior Brother Wei after his banishment, after all. None of that matters now, though. Their numbers are higher than ever. They left Wang Yan behind to run Lotus Pier in their absence, and brought a dozen high-ranking disciples to make a good show of it, and just as many who could really use the experience of a crowd hunt, and hopefully wouldn't do anything too embarrassing. Li Jun had been tasked with wrangling the younger cultivators. He's pretty sure that's the closest the man has ever gotten to cursing him. Wei Wuxian isn't the only spot of purple on the field of the archery range this time. He's standing apart from the rest of them, so he can stand in front with his fiancée. But honestly, Jiang Cheng would have been surprised if he'd done anything else. Nie Zongtui is on his other side, which shouldn't be that unusual, considering Baxia at Wei Wuxian's back. But Jiang Cheng feels a hint of suspicion anyway. An instinct that he's pretty sure comes more from being Wei Wuxian's brother than being a clan leader. Madame Jean is crossing in front of them with some of the other Jean ladies and their attendants, along with Ajia. Last time, Wei Wuxian had waved at her like a little kid until she looked at him and hid her smile behind her fan. This time, as soon as Ajia walks in front of them, Wei Wuxian, Lan Wangji, and Nie Zongtui bend into a neat bow, something they'd obviously planned. She stops, her eyes widening, and a beat later, all the Jiang, Lan, and Nie disciples do the same, following the lead of their respective first disciples. She flushes and hides her lower face behind her fan before inclining her head and continuing after Madame Jean, whose smile is more than a little strained. They don't straighten until Ajia has taken her seat next to Madame Jean. He turns to glare, but both Nie Mingtui and Lan Zichen seem surprised, although not upset. He risks a glance in the other direction, and Jing Guangyao looks amused, although his face goes back to blandly pleasant when his father looks his way. Jiang Cheng doesn't know how much of that is genuine, or if any of it is.
Lady Jiang did so much for us during the war, Lan Zichen says,
who really has a lot of nerve for calling him and his siblings troublemakers, considering he's the one who keeps opening his mouth and politely saying things he probably shouldn't.
We all grew so fond of her.
Of course, Jin Guangshan says with a smile that looks like it hurts a little bit. Yes, wedding negotiations seem as if they'll go much smoother this time around. Jin Guangyao announces his special treat for them, the same as he had before, leading out the beaten and starved Wen in chains. He's already turned his head to glare Wei Wuxian into submission, skipping the part where he stares at them in shock, which means he sees Lan Zichen look down and away, which shouldn't mean anything at all, except he's seen that body language before, and his eyes flit back to Jin Guangyao without thinking. He makes a note of Nie Huaisong doing the same thing and tries not to read too much into it. Jingguang Yao is looking at Lan Xichen, who had just done the same thing he'd done to Jiang Cheng when he'd felt ashamed he couldn't promise to control the Lan, when he'd known Jiang Cheng wanted his help but couldn't give it. Lan Wangji is holding on to Wei Wuxian, thankfully, which means Jiang Cheng is free to tune all this out and think. Why would Jingguang Yao do this? Why had he brought out the abused Wen for them to see? It had pissed everyone off before, and it's doing the same thing now. Nie Huaisong is pressed up against his older brother's side, and he's pretty sure it's to keep Nie Mingtui from throttling Jingguang Shan. The Nie had done what they'd felt they'd needed to do in the war, but they weren't needlessly cruel, and certainly didn't take any pleasure in cruelty. The minor sects might be pleased to see the people who'd attacked their homes in chains, but at the very least, clan leader Ouyang was respectable enough to be put off by it. It could be a power play, to show the Jin were so powerful they could be publicly terrible with no consequences. Except, by his own admission, this had been Jingguang Yao's idea, and he didn't do that kind of loud, pointless display. Maybe it wasn't to make the Jin look good. Maybe it was to make them look bad. Maybe he was flaunting the atrocities the Jin were committing because he couldn't do something about it, but he thought that someone should. Lan Xichen, for all that he was a formidable warrior, was gentle, too. He loved Jingguang Yao, and if he'd thought Jingguang Yao was the type of person to keep war prisoners as slaves and then brag about it, he wouldn't love him. But he had. Probably does. Which means whatever's happening, it can't be that. Lan Xichen had looked away just now, as if he were ashamed. Possibly because Jingguang Yao is asking for his help, is asking him to do something about this, and he doesn't think he can. I'll go. It's not that hard. Jin Xichuan scoffs, stepping forward immediately, just like last time. He doesn't look surprised to see the Wen or at the state of them. He hadn't been surprised last time either. Jin Xichuan's response had been something that impressed Jiang Cheng the first time around. By going first and doing it so well, while proclaiming that it was easy, he was making sure that anyone who wasn't certain that they could do the same would hesitate to even attempt it, lest they would embarrass themselves. It had been his way of protecting the Wen standing there as much as he could without making a scene of it. It's why Wei Wuxian had done the same, pulling off a move so impressive that no one would dare follow him. Which, of course, had pissed everyone off, but it means the only people who'd shot in the archery competition had been people skilled enough not to hit any of the Wen standing there. Jiang Cheng had thought it an unexpected bit of cleverness from Jin Xichuan, but maybe it had never been his cleverness at all. He hadn't been surprised. He'd reacted instantly, like he'd known what to expect, like it was planned. Jingguang Yao stands there and smiles, even as Wei Wuxian does the same as before, shooting 5 arrows perfectly while blindfolded. Jiang Cheng claps with everyone else, but this time he's looking at Jin Xichuan, who's trying to scowl, but by the way he rolls back his shoulders, is relieved despite the humiliation. He'd done that last time, too. Another point in his favor. Because Jiang Cheng had liked that he'd cared more about people not getting hurt than his pride. That's still true this time around. Cared about them so much, maybe, that he'd conspired with his bastard half-brother to both expose his family's dirty laundry, something he hates more than possibly anything, and to make sure the Wen would survive the experience. It probably hadn't hurt that it had given him an excuse to show off in front of Achia, he tries to think uncharitably, but honestly, he's too impressed. Maybe the Nie Huaisong of his time had been right. Maybe there's something redeemable here in Jingguang Yao. He's sure there's a dozen reasons and ways this benefits him, or could benefit him, but he's still doing it. Bringing the Wen out had been a risk, if they did cause a fuss. But then let it go. Jingguangshan would surely take his anger out on him. But Jingguangyao is making this specific play, one that could help others as well as himself, instead of the one that only helps himself. Jiang Cheng just doesn't understand how Jingguangyao's fall could have happened. He'd never paid attention to him before, so he doesn't have much basis for comparison. But Niemingchui's not an idiot. When Jingguangyao had changed, he'd noticed, and long before anyone else. Maybe he was just picking up on what had always been there. But also, maybe he wasn't. Maybe Jingguangyao had always been clever and manipulative and self-serving, but hadn't always been cruel and mad and power-hungry to the point of leaving behind everything else. Had it been the war? Had he snapped? Niemingchui had thrown Jingguangyao out of his clan when he'd killed one of his disciples, claiming he tried to let Sue Yang escape. Jingguangyao is directing everyone to the forest, but Jiang Cheng can barely focus on that. And he catches Achia's concerned look as he gets to his feet, but he can't even bring himself to smile at her. Jingguangyao had killed the Nie disciple after conversing with Sue Yang. Fuck. Sue Yang, who had gotten the last piece of the yin iron. Sue Yang, who was himself cruel and mad. Could Jingguangyao have gotten the yin iron from him then? Could that be why? The yin iron corrupts the body and the mind. Wei Wuxian had struggled with it, but had never seemed to lose himself to it. And this time around, those struggles barely seemed noticeable. That doesn't mean it was easy. Because Jiang Cheng is sure his brother is doing his best to hide any difficulty he's having from all of them. But he'd tried last time, too. And he hadn't been able to. It had been too much for him to hide. And this time it isn't. And that shouldn't be comforting, but it really is. Jingguangyao was not Wei Wuxian. He wasn't as strong, didn't have any skills with demonic cultivation, so he couldn't channel the resentful energy out of him. And he hadn't been a cultivator of any strength before being exposed to it. The first time he'd touched the yin iron, he'd killed a Nie cultivator. And even if it had been one who'd always been rude to Jingguangyao, it had been sloppy and uncharacteristic, and the moment Niemingchui had looked at him, he'd known something had changed. They'd long accepted that when Rohan had been driven even more mad by his use of yin iron. What if Jingguangyao had been too? What if that's what had tipped the scales from manipulative to monstrous?
Jiang Cheng, Niemingchui mutters. What's wrong?
Lan Xichen is walking with Jingguangyao, their heads bent together and a smile on both of their faces that looks real. Wei Wuxian is already out of sight.
Probably to go kiss Lan Wangji and not do any actual hunting.
Nothing, he says. Nie Huaisong snorts, and he amends. I need to talk to my brother about something. If anyone will know how to be able to tell, it'll be Wei Wuxian. If there's anyone who will be able to get the yin iron away from him, it'll be Wei Wuxian. He fucking hates that he's about to shove a problem at his brother and ask him to fix it. Well, if he's doing that, then he's going to do the original part of his plan on his own, even though objectively he knows it's going to go fucking horribly.
Nie Huaisong, he says, and whatever is in his voice makes Nie Huaisong's eyes narrow before he hides behind his fan. How about you and I duck out for a little bit and go on a little adventure?
This had all been Nie Huaisong's idea anyway. Not that he knows about that now, obviously. The least he can do is help him with it.
Niemingchui raises an eyebrow. I want my brother in one piece, Jiang Cheng.
He'll stay in one, he promises. Nie Huaisong, what do you say?
Do I get to know what this adventure is? He asks warily. Also, shouldn't you stay and supervise your disciples?
No, he says, answering both questions. Li Jun will handle it.
He hums, then snaps his fan shut, tapping it against his chin before saying, All right, sect leader Jiang, let's go on an adventure. It's a sign of how much Nie Mingtui trusts him, that when Jiang Cheng grabs the back of Nie Huaizong's robes and drags him away, all he does is laugh. When they show up at a high-end brothel, Nie Huaizong knows him far too well to be anything but suspicious. What are we doing here? Isn't it obvious? No, he says, with very judgmental eyebrows. Fair enough. Jiang Cheng's never been to a brothel in his life. I'm looking for someone. A wayward disciple? Nie Huaizong tries. He shakes his head.
Meng Yanmei.
Nie Huaizong grabs his forearm, the grip tight enough that it might have even bruised if Jiang Cheng wasn't a cultivator. He's completely serious, which Jiang Cheng has only seen glimpses of, and only after he'd approached him about traveling back in time. Seeing it now on a much younger face is disconcerting. Why? Jing Guangyao is dangerous, he says, surprised that Nie Huaizong knows the name of Jing Guangyao's mother, even though he can't really say why. Nie Huaizong only nods. Dangerous and enemy are, of course, not synonyms. They're all dangerous in their way. Jing Guangshan keeps him in check by holding the possibility of buying his mother's freedom over his head. How do you know that? Nie Huaizong demands. People talk, he says. Because, of course, he doesn't have a real answer for that. Nie Huaizong frowns, as if trying to figure out how Jiang Cheng could have heard a rumor that he hadn't. The point is, if Jing Guangyao is going to be dangerous, I don't want him to feel like he has to be dangerous for Jing Guangshan. Also, they thought maybe it was his mother's fate that had broken Jing Guangyao. The first time around, she'd been killed by a client before Jing Guangyao had been able to free her. Now, Jiang Cheng is pretty sure it'd been the influence of the Yin Iron, but his mother's death probably hadn't helped. Jiang Cheng, Nie Huaizong says, torn between horrified and delighted. Are we here so you can buy a prostitute? He grimaces. Yes, but please don't say it like that. This is Jing Guangyao's mother, after all. That sucks the glee out of him, and he nods solemnly.
Am I here because you don't know anything about brothels, and you don't want to make a fool of yourself?
He grits his teeth, but nods. It's bad enough that he's going to be seen going into a place like this. He doesn't need to be embarrassed in both directions.
I don't know if I should be flattered or not,
he says, even though he obviously is flattered either way. Have a lot of experience buying prostitutes? He asks. Nie Huaizong doesn't deny it, and he narrows his eyes. It's equally likely that he has, or that he hasn't, but he's trying to freak Jiang Cheng out. He refuses to give Nie Huaizong the satisfaction. Given that they are obviously both cultivators and very rich, the madam approaches them immediately, a wide, friendly smile on her face. That smile drops when Nie Huaizong tells her why they're there.
Meng Yangmei is not for sale, she tells them. If you'd like her for the night or to purchase one of our other girls.
No, Nie Huaizong says, raising an eyebrow. We want Meng Yanmei. What is her debt to you? We will pay it.
Her debt is not available for sale, she insists.
Jiang Cheng lets Zijian spark up his arm. Nie Huaizong sighs, but the madam flinches away from them. Let me be perfectly clear. We're leaving with Meng Yanmei, whether that's because you've accepted our money or because I've brought the local magistrate here to shut this place down is up to you.
He won't, she says, but her voice is shaking.
Jiang Cheng almost feels bad about it.
He won't, and I can't sell Meng Yanmei to you.
Nie Huaizong's eyes narrow, and he snaps his fan out.
You seem awfully sure about that. Is it, perhaps, because clan leader Jin is protecting you from the law? Has he forbidden you from selling Meng Yanmei?
It can't be healthy for someone to turn so pale so quickly. It's all the answer they need.
Do you know who we are?
Jiang Cheng asks. She shakes her head.
I'm Nie Huaisang, heir to the Nie sect,
Nie Huaisang says from behind his fan.
And I'm clan leader Jiang,
he says. Now the rest of her is shaking. She knows that no matter Jing Guangshan's promise, he won't bother standing against the Nie and Jiang sects to protect her.
You will sell Meng Yanmei to us.
Yes, she agrees.
After handing over a frankly disgusting amount of money and arranging for one of his disciples to come and pick up the rest of her things, he's given a copy of her contract with the house, her debt, which seems full of overblown charges, and a receipt showing that her debt has been paid off. No wonder that Jing Guangyao hadn't been able to afford her freedom, even after several years as one of Nie Mingchui's generals. Meng Yanmei is finally brought out to them, and the way Nie Huaisang covers nearly his entire face with his fan is very telling. He must see the same thing Jiang Cheng does.
Miss Meng, he says,
realizing his voice is coming out too cold and too sharp, but unable to stop it.
Are you a cultivator?
I am not, master,
she says, eyes downcast. Now he's the one flinching.
Don't call me that.
She nods, her face still downturned. It doesn't do much to hide her looks. She's beautiful, of course. Jing Guangyao hadn't exactly gotten his delicate features from his father. And her clothing is high quality, if a little too telling of her profession. But that's not what they're upset about.
Follow me,
he says, voice tight, and leaves without a backward glance. Meng Yanmei and Nie Huaisang walk behind him, and they're halfway back to the Jin estate before he's cooled off enough to turn to her and demand,
"How old were you?"
She's young now. Her face isn't covered in powder and is unlined. Jing Guangyao is almost 20.
"My lord,"
she says tentatively, her face still downturned.
"Look at me,"
he snaps. She lifts her head, meeting his eyes. Her manner is soft and yielding, but her dark eyes are anything but.
He comes by it honestly, then,
he says. He supposes people might interpret the fire in her eyes as passion, if that's what they're looking for there. But Jiang Cheng recognizes rage when he sees it.
"Who, my lord?"
she asks, voice light and melodic, with an unassuming lilt to it that he's heard so often before. He should probably be careful here. It's occurring to him, for the first time, that he's looking at the woman who raised Jing Guangyao.
"Your son," he says. "How old were you when you gave birth to your son? How old are you now?"
"I'm 36, my lord,"
she says. Zijin sparks again, but she doesn't even bother to glance at it.
"So you were 17 when you had him,"
he says grimly.
"I suppose it's too much to hope that you were 17 when you conceived him."
Not that it's much better, of course. She raises an eyebrow and, oh, he's definitely seen that look before. He gets the impression that this woman's mind has been wasted in her current work.
"Did Sect Leader Jin not tell you about me before sending you to retrieve me?"
"Sect Leader Jin?" he demands. "Who said anything about him? Do you think the Nie and Jiang run errands for the Jin?"
That's genuine surprise that flickers across her face.
"So I'm a power play, then. I will look very nice on your arm."
His face goes hot, and Nie Huaisang laughs at him.
"No! Can you stop saying horrible things? Fuck!"
He reaches into his robes and hands her the papers, her contract and debt and the receipt.
"Here, stop calling me my lord, too. If you're going to be weird about it, I'm Sect Leader Jiang."
She looks down at the papers, then back up to him.
"Sect Leader Jiang,"
she says, and she sounds genuine for the first time, voice hard and a little bit wondrous at once.
"I do not understand. Please explain it to me."
"Your son terrifies me,"
he says. Nie Huaisang looks surprised at that, but she doesn't. Probably because she's the one who taught him to be terrifying.
I neither like nor trust Jingguang Shan, but whatever he is, he's worse with your son supporting him. Part of the reason he supports him is because of you, so I wanted to take you out of the equation.
You paid an awful lot of money to kill me, she says calmly, as if the thought doesn't upset her at all.
He wants to yank at his hair in frustration. No one's going to kill you!
If you're not going to fuck me and you're not going to kill me, then what are you going to do with me?
She asks with that same calm. Actually, no. This one's a little worse because she almost sounds amused. Nothing! He snaps, then reconsiders. Well, you can stay here if you want, but I don't think I have to tell you how bad of an idea that is. You're welcome to come back to Yunmeng with us. You're clever and young. You'll be able to find work. Or if you prefer to stay in your current profession, there are pleasure houses everywhere. She's still watching him.
You fear my son so much you paid a small fortune to get me away from Jingguang Shan. Don't you want to use me as he used me, as collateral against what you can't control?
I thought I told you to stop saying horrible things, he mutters, ignoring the subtle emphasis she'd added on used. Because technically speaking, he is older than her, and he refuses to be embarrassed. I want any horribleness your son engages in to be completely of his own choosing, not forced on him by his asshole father. You're holding the proof of your freedom in your hands. You don't need me or anything I have to offer, but it's not like I asked before freeing you, so it would be rude of me not to offer you assistance. If you'd like to accompany us back to Lotus Pier, you may, but you don't have to. I request you stay with the Jiang until you decide so we can protect you. If you're worried about our ability to keep you safe or out of sight while in Carp Tower, you may choose an inn to stay at, and I'll send two of my senior cultivators to guard you. She looks at him for a long time, and he meets her gaze solidly. He doesn't have anything to hide. Well, not about this, not to her.
Thank you, Sect Leader Jiang, she says finally. I will accompany you back to the tower. I haven't seen my son in many years.
He didn't visit? He asks, thrown by that. His mother's so close now.
He writes, she says. Jingguang Shan doesn't allow his disciples to visit pleasure houses, and before he was Jin, he was all the way in the Unclean Realm.
The hypocrisy there is so astounding that he thinks he might be gaping. Her eyes flicker to the side, looking Nie Huaisang over, and her eyes catching on his fan.
He spoke fondly of you, Nie Huaisang. You as well, Miss Meng, he says, and slips his fan into his sleeve to offer her his arm.
She takes it with a demure twist to her mouth that has to be fake. Jiang Cheng kind of hates the fact that they don't look totally ridiculous. Of course, as soon as they step back onto Jin Land, one of his disciples is telling him that something is going on in the forest and he should hurry. He almost groans out loud. He'd really thought they'd managed to avoid this fiasco this time around. Wei Wuxian hadn't caught 30% of the prey this time, he doesn't think. He'd honestly be surprised if he caught anything and hadn't just found someplace quiet where Lan Wangji could take liberties with him. Nie Huaisang, he starts.
I'll stay with her, he says. Go, take care of it, whatever it is.
He grumbles all the way there, flying on a sword and then walking briskly the rest of the way. He comes upon a situation that isn't all that different than the one he'd arrived at last time. Ajia is standing in front of Wei Wuxian while uncharacteristically glaring at Jin Zixun. Lan Wangji is holding onto Wei Wuxian's arm. Madame Jin has a strained smile, and Jin Zixuan isn't looking at any of them. Sect Leader Yao is saying something idiotic. What's different this time is that Wei Wuxian isn't crying or furious. Instead, he looks faintly embarrassed and even a little exasperated. And Lan Wangji looks like he's about 2 seconds from unsheathing Bichin. Mian Mian is standing next to Jin Zixuan. Nie Mingjue is there, giving Jin Zixun a highly unimpressed look. And there are several handfuls of disciples,
surrounding them from every clan. Ding Guangya was standing back next to Lan Xichen instead of getting involved, which probably means that Wei Wuxian didn't use his flute to capture prey, since he doesn't feel the need to smooth anything over. He walks up to them and murmurs, "What did I miss?" Jing Guangyao doesn't move, but Lan Xichen startles.
"Ah, Jiang Cheng,
why is Ajia pissed?" Actually, he already knows the answer to that, and he doesn't need any context from either this timeline or the last one. "Who was mean to our brother?"
"You will apologize to Asian," Ajia orders, her voice carrying over the forest and saving Lan Xichen from answering.
Jin Zixun scoffs. Wei Wuxian tugs at Ajia's sleeve like a little kid. It's a strange role reversal from the camp when Ajia had tried to tug Wei Wuxian away after he'd punched Jin Zixun in the face.
Shijie, it's okay. Come and finish your walk with me and Lan Chan, hmm? We won't say rude things to you like Jin Zixun."
Jin Zixun just looks mortified, and Wei Wuxian is almost teasing. So probably this time Jin Zixun managed to keep from saying anything truly hurtful, and probably just said something thoughtless.
"Jiang Yanli, really, let's not get involved," Madame Jin coaxes. "Wei Wuxian is my brother," she says clearly. "If he is disrespected, then so am I. I am already involved."
Madame Jean is disappointed, but she turns to Jin Zixun.
"Well, you heard her."
"You're joking," Jin Zixun sneers.
"If anyone had ever spoken to his mother like that, they would have been lucky if she only pulled a sword on them."
But none of the Jin even react to some disciple talking like that to the clan leader's wife. The Jin better be willing to change their tune quickly if they don't want Ajia taking their heir back to Lotus Pier, where people actually listen to her. All this over him? He's just the son of a servant. You might as well feed him to the dogs. Jiang Cheng doesn't make a conscious decision to move, except one moment he's next to Lan Xichen, and the next he's standing in front of Jin Zixun, with his sword pressed against his throat. "What did you say?" he asks softly, letting Sandu fall just enough to draw blood. "Won't you repeat it for me?"
"Sect Leader Jiang!" Madame Jin shouts. "What are you doing?"
"Ah, Jiang Cheng,"
Wei Wuxian says, pressing a hand against his shoulder. Jiang Cheng risks a glance over at him. He's pale, probably at the mention of dogs, but doesn't look upset. He should. He should be upset about this.
There, no need to be hasty. I am the son of a servant, after all." "He said, just," Ajia says angrily. "You are not just the son of a servant, Asian."
It's a sign of how beyond pissed their sister is that she's not trying to calm him down or stop him. "You can't be serious," Jin Zixun says, because clearly he wants very badly for Jiang Cheng to kill him. "Are you really going to try and say he's part of the main family? Everyone knows Madame Yu hated him and Jiang Fengmian only took him in out of guilt like a stray dog. A pet dog is not a family member, Jiang Cheng."
There's no way to order Jin Zixun to stop talking about dogs without looking like a lunatic, but he wants to.
He pulls his sword back just to turn it around and slam the hilt of it into Jin Zixun's face, breaking his nose, and probably fracturing his cheekbone as well. He shouts as he topples over, raising a hand over his face, but thankfully stays down. "What the fuck do my parents' feelings matter? Did you think when Ajia and I called him our brother that it was a joke? He's our brother. It doesn't matter whether our parents hated him or loved him. You have a lot of fucking nerve speaking to the heir of another sect like this." There's a ripple of gasps throughout the crowd that he doesn't understand at all.
"You're making him your heir?" Jin Zixun spits.
Confusion cuts through some of his anger.
"He's the heir to the Jiang clan now. He has been ever since my father died and I took the place as clan leader. Did you think he accompanied me to war meetings and led our people in battle as the son of a servant? He looks over to Achia to see if this makes any more sense to her than it does to him. But his eyes get caught on Wei Wuxian. His eyes are wide and his mouth is open before he visibly remembers to shut it, and then swallows. He seems just as surprised as everyone else. How is this possible? How could Wei Wuxian not have known? Who else would it have been? Why did he think that he was the one Jiang Cheng always turned to first to help manage the sect in both timelines?
Sect leader Jiang, Madame Jean says delicately. Usually such appointments are announced with an official letter.
Achia frowns.
That's only if it falls out of direct lines of inheritance. Wei Wuxian is our brother. He's listed as such in our official clan archives. It shouldn't have needed to be announced.
Oh, stop this, Clan Leader Yao says. Clan Leader Cheng can name whoever he'd like as his heir, no matter how unsuitable. But don't pretend as if this is some old news we should have known. There are some mutterings of assent, and this is all exhausting and ridiculous, and he doesn't have it in him to try and be diplomatic. Wei Wuxian is stronger, smarter, and better than all of you. You try and hide your jealousy as indignation or fear, but you're shit at it. There's no one else I'd rather have as my heir or my brother. But even if he wasn't, even if he was dumb and blind and couldn't cultivate to save his life, none of that would matter. He'd still be my brother and he'd still be the heir to the Jiang clan. He can feel the weight of his brother's stare on him, but doesn't dare try and meet it. Clan leader Yao is turning red, he's so mad. Usually Jiang Cheng could find some amusement in that, but not now.
If he was truly your brother, then he wouldn't be your heir. He'd be clan leader and you would be his heir. Everyone knows Jiang clan succession goes to the oldest male first.
More people are nodding, and Jiang Cheng can't believe this is happening to him. Fuck, you're also stupid. In the Jiang sect, it goes by gender, then birth order. Not age, morons. Even that wasn't set in stone, of course. It was more of a guideline. Historically speaking, the Jiangs weren't great at following any rules, including their own.
What's the difference?
Mian Mian asks quickly, probably trying to cut off someone else saying something to piss him off.
Between age and birth order.
Wei Wuxian wasn't brought into our family until we were children, he says, forcing some of the anger out of his voice, because it's Mian Mian who'd asked. He's my older brother, but I'm the firstborn son, which is why I was the Jiang sect heir. If his mother hadn't had a son when his father had brought Wei Wuxian home, she probably wouldn't have allowed it. But there's no use focusing on that because it's not what happened. Neither of his parents had ever used the term son to describe Wei Wuxian. But that doesn't matter either. His name is beside his and Achia's in the official books, and that is all that matters. He's considered the second-born son because he joined us after I was born. If my mother had another boy after Wei Wuxian joined us, that child would have been a third-born son behind Wei Wuxian in the succession. There's no game here. Wei Wuxian is my brother and my heir. Ajia steps forward, something that's almost a snarl curling around her lips as she looks down at Jin Zixun.
You insulted my brother. Apologize.
There's a thick, tense silence. And then Jin Zixun opens his mouth. Jiang Cheng is prepared for something terrible, but instead what he gets is,
do as she says.
Jin Zixun? Jin Zixun looks uncertain for the first time.
Do as Lady Jiang says, Jin Zixun repeats. If she chooses to join our clan, you'll have to obey her. You might as well get the practice in now.
It seems like Jin Zixun isn't a total idiot and has figured out that Achia isn't going to be the kind of wife that his mother is.
Good.
Maybe he won't have to kidnap his sister away from the Jin for underappreciating her. Jin Zixun gets to his feet, his face and front covered in blood,
and stiffly gives a shallow bow to Wei Wuxian. Lower, Atia snaps. He takes a deep, steadying breath, but obediently lowers himself into something approaching the proper amount of deference. I apologize. I accept, Wei Wuxian says quickly, eyes wide. He steps forward to tug on Ajia's sleeve again. Shujia, won't you walk with me and Lanchan? Her anger has melted away and her smile is soft. Of course I will, Asian.
Well? Jiang Cheng growls at the surrounding cultivators. Don't you all have a hunt to get back to?
The Jiang disciples start herding the other disciples away, with sharp, cheerful movements. Madame Jean looks between them, opens her mouth, and then seems to think better of it, and walks back toward the tower, two Jean disciples and Jing Guangyao falling into step behind her. Mian Mian even trails after Jin Xishun with minimal sighing when Jin Xishun tells her to. Lan Xichun and Nie Mingchui catch his eye to smile at him and Wei Wuxian before giving them shallow bows and heading off in the same direction together. They seem to still be friends this time around, even with Lan Xichun's obvious friendship with Jin Guangyao. Jiang Cheng's not sure which of the changes has led to that, but he's grateful for it. It'll make things easier for all of them later.
Jin Xishun, he says,
because he's still here.
Jin Xishun straightens and lifts his chin.
Part of him hates this, but, well, he had made his cousin listen to Ajia, and that's important.
Will you accompany my sister back to the tower?
Jiang Cheng!
Wei Wuxian gasps, but he doesn't sound really angry. Jin Xishun flushes and gives a shallow bow.
I would like that very much, Lady Jiang. If my brother doesn't mind, she answers, looking at Wei Wuxian.
He huffs, but says, Not alone! You need a chaperone! Where did Mian Mian go?
That's pretty rich coming from Wei Wuxian, who's been notorious for disappearing with his fiancé long before they got engaged, and certainly hasn't stopped since. But he doesn't point it out, because that's perfect, actually.
Lan Wangji, will you accompany my sister and Jin Xishun? I want to talk to my brother for a moment.
Lan Wangji inclines his head while Wei Wuxian starts to look nervous. Lan Wangji hesitates, then leans forward enough to press a quick kiss to the ridge of Wei Wuxian's cheekbone.
You'll explain your reaction to him saying dogs later?
He asks, quietly enough that Jiang Cheng thinks he's not supposed to be able to hear them.
Ah, Wei Wuxian says, grimacing. Yeah, later.
Lan Wangji nods, stepping back so Ajia can kiss Wei Wuxian's cheek as well. Then he trails behind Jin Xishun and Ajia, far enough away that they can pretend to have some privacy, but not so far away that he can't hear them speaking, clearly taking his role as chaperone seriously. Jiang Cheng waits until they're out of sight to push Wei Wuxian towards the nearest tree stump.
Here, sit down and don't move.
Bossy, he grumbles, but he does as he's told for once. What are you doing?
Shut up, he says instead of answering.
He stands behind his brother and lifts Baxia off of his back and hands it to him before undoing the ribbon holding his hair up. He runs his hand through it, trying to finger comb it so it looks at least slightly presentable. This will be easier if they don't have to look at each other, he thinks.
Why did you look surprised when I said you were my heir? You've seen the books yourself, and it's not like you're not doing the work.
Even the last time, when he was disappearing all the time, he'd still done the work of an heir when he could. When he was around and sober, which, granted, hadn't been that often.
You never said it out loud before.
Hadn't he? He couldn't remember. I didn't think I needed to.
Wei Wuxian is quiet for a moment as Jiang Cheng works out the knots in his hair. He sighs.
I thought that maybe you were just waiting for someone better, someone more qualified to take my place.
Like who? He retorts. There's no one more qualified. You're not a placeholder.
He pauses in combing Wei Wuxian's hair to take out his own. his hair falling neatly over his shoulders, because he actually takes the time to take care of it.
I don't know why you'd think that.
In either timeline, but especially in this one. Wei Wuxian hesitates, but says, "Your father put me in the family books, but he never expected me to be the heir." Jiang Cheng shrugs.
"Yeah, I mean, he probably figured I'd have some kids of my own by the time he handed it over. So what?"
He's quiet again. "I don't want to say something that will make you think less of your father. He was a good man, and I loved him."
His stomach rolls, and he bites the inside of his cheek until blood fills his mouth. "Tell me."
"It doesn't matter. I shouldn't have said anything." Wei Wuxian tries to turn to face him, but Jiang Cheng grabs him by the shoulders and firmly turns him back around. He starts gathering his brother's hair in his hands.
"Tell me.
Didn't you ever wonder why your mother hated me so much?"
That is possibly the last thing he expected his brother to say. She was just like that, Wei Wuxian. It wasn't your fault."
"I was never meant to be the heir," he repeats, and Jiang Cheng already feels like he's losing the thread of this conversation. "Your father brought me home and wrote my name next to yours, but he didn't. He loved you," Wei Wuxian says desperately. "You know that, don't you? Your father loved you so much."
"Yes," he says, and he's felt fear before, but not like this. "Keep going."
He fidgets, but swallows, and keeps going. "He was so much harsher with you than with me. It's not because he loved me more or less or anything, really. It's just that's what I was there for."
He freezes, his hands buried in his brother's hair. "What are you talking about?"
"That was my role in the house. Why he'd picked me up and brought me there. I was supposed to motivate you, I guess. It's not like he ever sat me down and was like, 'This is your role.' It was just obvious, after a certain point, what he wanted from me. If I was worse than you, then you'd have someone to be better than. But if I was better than you, then you'd have someone to beat. I tried not to be better a few times, but he always knew."
Jiang Cheng remembers a couple of those, actually. How he'd burned with humiliation as his father had told Wei Wuxian not to hold back for his sake, and Wei Wuxian had just looked sad.
"If he indulged me and was harsh with you, then you'd try and be better, try and be perfect. He was trying to make you the best you could be, Jiang Cheng."
He wants to deny it, but can't. So many things make sense now. It fits too perfectly to be anything but true. "He used you to manipulate me."
"He was doing what he thought was best for his son," Wei Wuxian says firmly, without a hint of resentment. "He just... it's funny, almost."
Jiang Cheng is certain whatever comes out of his brother's mouth next is going to be anything but funny.
"I'd guessed a lot of this anyway, but I was, I don't know, 13 maybe? I overheard an argument between them. Your mother was angry because he'd formally added me to the family, because he'd added me to the line of succession. I wasn't ever meant to be the heir." He swallows. "I thought that me being the son of a servant would be enough to keep me from ever being the heir, but Madame Yu knew better. That's why she was always so loud about hating me, about how I wasn't part of the family, about me not being your brother. Because she knew that the only way I'd be taken out of the line of succession was if you took me out of it. Uncle Jiang didn't take me out of it for the same reason he put me in. He didn't think it would matter. He didn't think you'd ever choose the son of a servant, no matter how respected or skilled I was. So really it was your mother who respected my place in the clan more than your father. It's a little funny, isn't it? Since she was always yelling at me, huh?"
Jiang Cheng gives up on the ponytail to lean forward and tug his brother back against his chest, hiding his tears against the back of his brother's head. "Why did you stay? They were using you and playing with you, and by the time you were 13, everyone knew how good you were. You could have gone to any clan, and they would have taken you in. You didn't need to stay and deal with that."
Ah, Jiang Cheng, he says, lifting his hands to grab onto Jiang Cheng's arms across his chest. You and Ajia were there. You loved me. I was your brother. How could I give that up? It didn't hurt to stay, to have to deal with that? He asks. Wei Wuxian shrugs, then says, it was worth it to me. Being your brother made staying worth it. Is it still worth it? He asks. He understands better this time that Wei Wuxian leaving hadn't been about him, that he'd probably always intended to come back once he found a solution to the Wen issue, that he probably would have been able to come back if Jin Guangyao hadn't been working against him at every turn. Wei Wuxian hadn't left because of him, but he hadn't stayed because of him either. That stings less now, knowing that his brother had spent their whole childhood staying because of him, because he loved him and Ajia too much to leave them. Always, Wei Wuxian says softly, you're my brother. Shuqia is my sister. That's all that's ever mattered to me. As long as I have you, everything else is worth it. Good, he says, finally letting go and picking up his hair again. He'd just tied it off into a sleek ponytail when he says, I love you. He doesn't know if he's ever said it like that, just straightforward all on its own. I love you too, Wei Wuxian says, easily, without even having to think about it. Jiang Cheng affixes the hair ornament to Wei Wuxian's hair and smiles. Good, he repeats, then steps back to admire his handiwork. It's still a bit scruffy because that's just Wei Wuxian, but it looks pretty good. Now no one will mistake you for anything but what you are. Wei Wuxian lifts his hand, fingers dragging against the gold and amethyst lotus hair ornament that Jiang Cheng had taken from his own hair, one that makes his status as heir to the Jiang clan unmistakable. Jiang Cheng! Shut up and wear it, he orders, pulling his own hair back up and using Wei Wuxian's black ribbon to hold it in place. He'll replace it with a different ornament when he gets back to his rooms. If people start treating you respectfully, it'll make my life easier after all. His brother turns around, trying to scowl, but his eyes are bright, and the way his lips keep pulling back into a grin really ruins the effect. Well, if it's about making your life easier, then that's fine, I guess. Whatever, he grumbles as Wei Wuxian stands and slides Baxia against his back. His brother nudges him in the side. I'm going to go to the market while Lan Chan is distracted. I want to get him something. Want to come? Yeah, but I ran away from Nie Huaisang and left him with a problem earlier. He sighs. He'll tell Wei Wuxian all about Meng Yanmei and his suspicions about Jin Guangyao and the Yin Iron later. But he just doesn't have the energy for it now. Not after the conversation they've just had. I need to go deal with that. Sounds fun, he says, twirling Cheng Qing in his hands so the little bunny charm swings through the air. He rolls his eyes. Whatever. Try not to get Lan Wangji something gross. And don't be late for... He pauses, realization gripping him like a vice and cutting off his voice. For... Wei Wuxian prompts after a moment. The celebration banquet, he says, lips feeling numb. It's tonight. Don't forget. The banquet that he'd shown up late to last time, and then stormed out after getting the location of the Wens. And then, the next time Jiang Cheng had seen his brother had been at the burial mounds. This will be different. It'll be fine. He knows he could go and find the location of the Wen on his own. He could try and get the Nie and Lan to stand with him against it all. He could swoop in and make it so Wei Wuxian doesn't have to make any choice at all. But that was never the goal of all of this. It's not about taking Wei Wuxian's choices away from him. It's about giving him the tools to make better ones. No matter what choice he makes, Jiang Cheng will be there. He'll help him fix it. I won't forget, Wei Wuxian says, rolling his eyes and unsheathing Baxia so he can ride it into town. Jiang Cheng stands there, watching him until he's out of sight. Whatever choice Wei Wuxian makes, Jiang Cheng will stay. Will choose him over everything else.
It will be worth it, whatever the consequences, as long as he gets to keep his brother.